The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 4 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. You have, I would imagine every one of you have seen this scene play out in a grocery store, toy store, hardware store. Here's maybe a mother and a father, or maybe just a mother or a father, but they've got a small child in the shopping cart. And the child is a holy terror. As they go down the aisle, the kid is pulling things off the shelves, yelling, screaming, shouting, kicking, throwing things. Then when they get up to the cash register, they're having a fit. They want candy. They're screaming. They're yelling. And the poor, frustrated father or mother or both just look at the child and plead with the child, please don't do that, honey. Don't do that. Now, if you were to ask that parent, why don't you discipline them? Why don't you give them a little spanking on the bottom or, you know, some other appropriate means of discipline? In one way or another, that parent will tell you, well, I'm just trying to love them and support them. In one way or another, they will tell you that they love their child too much to discipline them. Now, all of you know the reality. That's not love. That's selfishness. Because the parent loves themselves too much to go through the agony of trying to appropriately discipline a child. It is much more difficult to discipline a child than to just let them do whatever they want to do. So, again, I think almost all of you understand that's not love. Real love requires structure and discipline. If you really love a child, you will discipline them and you will make sure that they face consequences. Very, very close friend of ours had a son who was busted in a drug deal and spent the night in juvenile detention. And the next morning, the father went to meet with the judge in the court, the juvenile court. The judge turned to the father and said, you can take your son home, or I would recommend that he spend 30 days in juvenile detention. Well, the father chose the 30 days in juvenile detention because he honestly believed that was the most loving thing that he could do for that child. Now, the child, the son, was furious, absolutely furious. But the father honestly believed that under the circumstances, that was the most loving thing he could do, was to give his son the privilege of facing consequences. And again, I think most of you understand that. Now, why in the world did I go through all of that? 5 years ago, the state of California ruled over by many years by the far liberal left, passed Proposition 47, California, they're always passing prop this, prop that. Well, this is Proposition 47. And what it did was reduce the consequences for theft, making anything less than $950 in value a minor misdemeanor. So minor that the police decided if it's less than $950, it's not even worth dealing with because they're going to get, at worst, a slap on the wrist. Now, why was Prop 47 passed by the liberal leftist legislators in California? Well, there's a poverty problem in California. There's a homeless problem in California. And they honestly believe that the compassionate thing to do, let's not be too harsh with people. Let's be compassionate. You know, sometimes people just need food, and they need food for their babies, and they need milk, and they need bread. And if they are forced to steal, let's not punish people. And so they came up with this totally arbitrary number of $950. Well, that was nearly 5 years ago. What has happened? Shoplifting and theft all over the state of California has skyrocketed to record levels. The story I'm looking at deals particularly with the city of San Francisco. Listen to this. Over in the city by the bay, their famous Tenderloin district, Cassie, a 21-year-old mother of two and a former heroin junkie, told local news that times were tough. And so, yes, she steals from stores. Quote, if my babies need diapers or formula, who's going to get that for me? No one. So I have to do it. They ain't out here arresting people for shoplifting anyway, and everyone knows it. Can I repeat that? If my babies need diapers and formula, who's going to get that for me? No one. So I have to do it. They ain't out here arresting people for shoplifting anyway, and everyone knows it. Quote, since Proposition 47 was passed, there has been an increase in theft across the state. Cities like San Francisco have seen organized crime rings turn shoplifting into a well-organized racket involving desperate thieves and unscrupulous black market resellers. Among the nation's 20 largest cities, San Francisco now has the highest rate of property crime, which includes theft, shoplifting, and vandalism. And then the story goes on, and it's incredible. It gives story after story, illustration after illustration of people with little adding machines. They go into a store, and they stuff their shirts, their pants, their coats with merchandise. And as they're stuffing it, they're adding up the value. And when it gets to like $940, ooh, that's the limit. They head out the door. The proprietors of the stores don't even try to stop them because police won't respond if it's less than $950 because it's not worth trying to prosecute them. It's not just San Francisco. Quote, in San Diego County, 7-Eleven franchise owner Jassy Dillon told local NBC 7 he has to deal with shoplifters at all six of his local store locations. Quote, it's happening every day, every hour. Quote, it's becoming a lifestyle for us now because we can't do anything except just take the loss. Then Rachel Michelin, president of the California Retailers Association, gave illustrations where their black market retailers set up just two or three blocks away from the store. And here's what they're doing. They have people going into stores stealing less than $950 worth of stuff. And then they walk two blocks to a little shop set up where they resell the stuff that they just sold. Quote, they know what they're doing. They will bring in calculators and get all the way up to the $950 limit. One person will go into a store, fill up their backpack, come out, dump it out, and go right back into the same store and do it all over again. They will go into a grocery store, steal alcohol, and walk out the front door with it because they know no one is going to prosecute them, says Rachel Michelin, president of the California Retailers Association. This was the compassionate thing. This was the compassionate answer to poverty. As I talk about so often, misplaced compassion. Oh, and it gets worse. I got a little more for you when we come back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. We're talking about misplaced compassion. California 5 years ago passed Proposition 47. It was passed by the liberal left in California as a means to help the poor. Now, how are they going to help the poor? By not prosecuting them for stealing stuff. Because after all, poor people have to eat. And if they can't get a job, well, it's reasonable that they would go steal something. So we can't be too tough on people who steal. So Proposition 47 says that if someone steals something less than $950, it's a very minor misdemeanor. So minor that police no longer respond. If a store says, hey, we caught somebody shoplifting, the police say, well, what's the value of what they shoplifted? $949. Yeah, they're just going to be let free anyway. Just let them go. If it's over $950, so if you were listening before the break, thieves in California, and by the way, I didn't make this up. This is that bit of evidence is from Rachel Michelin, who is the president of the California Retailers Association. So they're actually shoplifters are actually going into stores with a little handheld calculator. And they add up what they're stealing and they stop before they get to the $950 limit. Again, she says, they know what they're doing. They will bring in calculators and get all the way up to the $950 limit. One person will go into a store, fill up their backpack, come out, dump it out, and go right back into the same store and do it all over again. She says, and again, president of the California Retailers Association, quote, this is completely insane. They will go into a grocery store, steal alcohol, walk out the front door with it because they know no one is going to prosecute them. Then just one other little wrinkle in this. I don't know when it was, but not long ago, California passed another law where stores cannot hand out plastic shopping bags. In order to get a shopping bag, like you get at Giant Eagle or Kroger's or whatever, you have to pay an additional dime for every single one of the bags. So, and I'm quoting from this story, residents looking to save 10 cents and spare the environment typically put merchandise in a purse, a backpack, or have it in their hand when they walk out. So what they're doing, they don't want to buy bags because California says you can't just hand them out because they're going to save the planet. So people are just carrying everything up to the cash register, poking in their purses, their pockets, their backpacks, or whatever. The honest people are paying for them and walking out with the merchandise in their pockets, their purses, their backpacks, or whatever. But the security guards at the door have no idea who is shoplifting and who is actually paid for the merchandise because they're carrying it out in their shirts, their coats, or whatever. Michelin said, it's nuts. Stores are going to be forced up to lock up all of their merchandise. Frustrated business owners say they feel their needs are being ignored by elected officials. Unintended consequences of misplaced compassion. All right, quick, let's go to Jim in Columbus before the bottom of the hour break. Hey, Jim, you're on Bob Rady Live. Welcome.
Hey, Pastor Bob. Does it say anywhere why the stores are not detaining these people to get the property back, since it sounds like they see the indicators when the shoplifters are stealing the property, why they're not detaining them and just get the property back before they release them?
Well, I know because my daughter was in loss management for a local retailer. They can't touch them. The security cannot touch them. It's only police have the right to actually touch them or physically restrain them. They can yell at them and say, hey, come back or we're going to call the police. But in California, the police won't even come unless it's more than $950. So the retailers' right. hands are tied because they can't touch them. They don't have the legal authority to physically detain them or even to take the merchandise back from them.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Bob.
It's nuts. It is nuts. All right, Jim, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, the store owners, their hands are tied. In fact, every once in a while, even here in Central Ohio, you'll hear about a security guard at a local retailer, department store, whatever, gets fired because they try to physically restrain a shoplifter either at the door or in the parking lot. And so their hands are tied. The deck is stacked in favor of the thief. It's sad, but it's true. And my whole point in bringing up that story, this is not compassion. When you take away consequences for bad behavior or illegal behavior, that is not compassion. It isn't. All right, we'll be back.